Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Emily Smith of Guide to Wholeness, and today is a solo episode, and I feel very called to share where my journey has taken me, what I've learned, and I actually wrote this all out and really got clear on some things that show up for women in the workplace and the world. And that's just been brought to light in the last 6 months as I've been in a feminine embodiment coaching certification program. And oh my goodness, I have gotten so much out of it. And I was led there in the perfect time. And this episode, I'm going to share with you my story of, stepping into my feminine embodiment and the things that showed up in the workplace that really showed me that feminine embodiment was what I needed and I hadn't realized. And I think a lot of you will relate to this. And it actually really came up in the conversations that I'm having with women in my own life, that they experience similar biases and limitations to upwards movement in their careers, and even just the feeling of being powerful in your career. And I will say that since I wrote my book, Wholeness Within, the book came out early 2022. I didn't realize I was going on a whole other journey of really embodying what it means to be whole within. And what that book writing experience taught me and that message was that you approach your career with wholeness, and that is when you become in alignment with the right career for you, and it doesn't become you, and it doesn't define you. So it was my own journey of learning that and even unraveling from a lot of the conditioning that was still saying to even be whole that you needed a career, when that's just not the case. It's actually just starting from coming home to yourself and being actually able to accept who you are authentically, and let that lead you in your life and let your desires for your life inform what you do in your career. And that is the forefront of my work, and that is this story I'm about to share with you. So how did I get here? I was cooking dinner one Sunday in August of 2022, and I was planning on going to the office the next day. I work full-time as well in digital marketing and branding, and at the time I was at this company where we were going into the office. And I was on edge that night as I was really bracing myself to see a few people in leadership the following day who I had been in talks with. I was, navigating a promotion proposal that was taking a long time. And it was also around my 2-year anniversary. So, I was really at the point where I was deciding, am I going to stay here? Am I going to leave? And throughout the process, my anger had been slowly building. And I even think that it was building over this month of negotiations, but it was really longer than that. It was building up for the last year because I had come through the previous summer after my first year of being there with this proposal of a promotion at that point, and it got moved to the next year. So my anger had actually been slowly building up and now is really coming to the surface through these negotiations unexpectedly as I was cooking pasta for dinner on the stove. So I was worried about the next day. I had left that Friday with questions that I hadn't gotten answered. It had been 3 weeks since I had brought this proposal forward, and I was on edge because I just knew that, you know, things weren't resolved. I have to go see these people. I have to be cordial. I have to be calm. And I just wasn't. And so as I was cooking, I turned around too quickly, distracted, and it just woke me up that suddenly an entire pot of boiling water fell on my right arm. And so the shock set in as I watched in panic how my arm turned first bright red and then shifted into a dark purple color. So at this point, I was questioning, is this, you know, serious? Like, is this something that I can treat on my own? And once it turned purple, and it was just very numb and like the worst pain imaginable, I knew that I could not do this on my own. So I rushed to the emergency clinic. This was a Sunday night, 20 minutes before it closed. It was just down the street. And thankfully, I acted quickly because the mass on my arm that was affected by this burn was huge. It was my entire forearm. And this incident made me finally realize that I needed to have better ways, need to find those ways to process my emotions and be in my power. And as you know, if you've read my book and seen my work, like, I believe illness, physical illness and accidents can serve as a warning sign that something else is off balance, usually in our mindset, our emotions, and the state you're in when accidents happen really says everything. And that really just woke me up. And I knew somehow with a more healthy, embodied way of being that I could learn how to be a woman at work who is powerful, unapologetic in her value, emotionally empowered, in alignment with her true essence as a woman, and not trying to pretend to be a toxic version of a man, not even an actual version, but this perception of what it means to be powerful. And I couldn't ignore my rage about my promotion any longer. And sometimes it takes a shock to your system to show that the way you're being is no longer supporting you. It's actually physically harming you. And I really, really got that message as I learned from the doctor that I would need 6 months of recovery, which meant I couldn't go in direct sunlight and I had to have my arm bandaged for at least a month. So it was like visible on the outside while the skin was just like a whole new layer was growing and needing to be regenerated. So I knew I was in a journey of taking care of myself. And also, interestingly enough, it was on my right side of my body, which I believe is that masculine side. Anyways, I have to check on that. But I do think that, you know, I always look at the side of the body, the type of body part, and the arm is really about grabbing and seizing opportunities. And so I felt a bit that I was trying to do those things and I was following the directions. I had worked with a career coach and I wasn't getting what I felt I deserved and had worked towards and really put my all into. So it really showed me on the outside how severe long-term impact that unchecked emotions can have on you. So how did I get to this point? Well, I have been used to performing and being perceived as perfect growing up through extracurriculars, you know, grades, sports, and then careers. You know, that just made sure that all my validation and approval needs were met. And honestly, this is, like I said, something that is picked up in childhood, but also from being a woman in a patriarchal society. So I learned that I was conditioned, just like all women, to seek approval in the external world to confirm my value as a person. So in being in the business world, having these accomplishments and accolades were a sort of testament to my worth, my reason to take up space. Like I had to just go above and beyond to just be at the table. And that is something I learned working in corporate right out of university, starting, you know, I worked in my company at the time, had an office near my hometown, and I then worked in their London office, their New York City office, and it just taught me that I had to fight tooth and nail for what was meant for me in my career, and that it could not come easy or from deservedness. So promotion conversations became battlegrounds, performance reviews became traumatic experiences, and workplace harassment was real. And I did experience my first firing abroad in my life at 24. So at that point, I was learning that being a woman in this working world was incredibly challenging, and that even though I worked and hustled and did everything perfectly, it was always an uphill battle, and it was just never anything I could just take for granted. So clarity on my desired career path came from my own inner work, conversations I had with people in my desired role. And really with this, I got out of these types of roles that just didn't light me up, just felt like they were what I was supposed to do. I just chose jobs from that standpoint, from university and growing up. It was, I graduated college during the recession in 2008, and I was going through that, and it was just like, make the logical choice, do the safe thing, and put your own fulfillment needs to the side. And I had to do so much work to let go of that mindset and that way of being. And I had to really just take charge of my career and start to define my own path instead of looking towards the outside. And that is what led me to develop my own career alignment formula, and that I use with coaching people in my business. And so I went through that journey myself, and that really, you know, I did go and work at a lot of places that weren't the right fit over a span of like 3, 4, 5 years after graduating college. And I had to even just take a break from working at one point, and that's when I started my business, to really reset and like figure out what was next. And I ultimately came to the realization that I had healed these wounds from the past, and I had created success for myself in my own business and built up my confidence that way. And I showed up again, and I knew that I would want to work corporate and find that way to share my gifts and also build in stability as I was growing my business. So I showed up more empowered this time in my next role, confident in my skills, navigating my career with more direction and proactivity. You know, I wasn't waiting for people to have the conversation with me of like, oh, what are your goals and what do you want to do? Like, I was setting up those meetings. I was bringing up the promotion conversations. Like, I kind of went the full direction of like, okay, I'm going to cover all my bases. And that was very empowering for me, because it just showed me like, I don't need to wait around for people. And I made a very conscious decision of the company that I worked for this time. You know, I really did make sure that I knew that this company and this role would be in alignment with my values and my professional goals and my gifts and talents, and know that I would provide a lot of value to them and vice versa. So I learned a ton in this role. I was really able to heal past wounds and working, and I built up my skill set and made an incredible impact that I am so proud of. And I even, you know, built up the confidence to really like lead meetings. And I think as an introvert, as a woman, like that felt very uncomfortable at first to really own that and own my voice, especially from past experiences, you know, working in major cities and experiencing like cutthroat environments where you said something wrong and you just got taken down. That was real trauma that I worked through with coaching, therapy, my own inner work, embodiment healing, all that. So even with this newfound awareness, though, this openness and confidence, I became acutely aware of how I was still operating out of the conditioning of being a woman. The one aspect of healing that I had not considered, I had healed all these other things, I had forgiven, and I just showed up, you know, okay, here's what my male career coach that I'm looking to for advice is giving me and following that. And it wasn't until like 2 years into this company that I started to realize, wait a second, what, something is off here. Like, why are these things not working? Are you a high-achieving, heart-centered woman who's ready to experience more flow, more fulfillment, and more freedom in her life and career? I invite you to learn more about my program, Reclaim, which supports you in reclaiming your wholeness and your feminine essence to experience more alignment, fulfillment, and flow. And you've probably understood by now and listening to this podcast that there's a feminine aspect of yourself that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be embodied so that you can feel in balance and live life in a softer, more connected way. And to do that, you have to embody your self-worth and emotional empowerment so that you can move through the challenges that inevitably come up when you start walking towards a life that is soul aligned. And becoming embodied in your feminine helps you to anchor in a deep sense of faith throughout these challenging transitions, helps you to reclaim your boundaries and permission to say no, and to remove subconscious blocks and increase your ability to receive, which is a wound in the collective of the feminine. And a lot of this is embedded trauma in the body. And I use a somatic approach so that you can release these blocks in a safe way and start to listen to the wisdom of your heart and your body, which is always there and inviting you to start living from this space instead of from your head, which is, you know, the version of yourself that's anxious and in analysis paralysis, is from living from your headspace. So if this sounds supportive to you, I invite you to book a free 20-minute consult with me to discover what do you need to embody to get this soul aligned life that you desire, what needs to be released, what needs to be embodied. And this is complimentary, so we can see if this is a good match and a good support for you going forward. You can find the link in the show notes, talktoemily.com, to book your session today. And I was realizing that I was a really disembodied woman. I was really living my head. Despite knowing that I was making an impact and hitting goals, I still felt unsure of myself as I navigated forward. I was still seeking like permission, and I was still saying yes when I wanted to say no to, you know, ask of my time and different projects. I was still focus on all work and no play, and unsure of what I wanted. Even as I did push forward, I kind of was still following that formula of, okay, so you become a senior manager, you then become a director, and not even questioning, like, is that actually what I want to do? Like, am I just doing it for ambition's sake? And I was starting to learn that this is what was actually keeping me stuck. So I came to a point where I proved my value to a company that I had re-entered full-time work in, and I had done this through countless projects, initiatives, innovative ideas, and just like I applied my ideas and projects this way in my business, I kind of took that level of ownership entrepreneurially at this company. However, at this rate, just like my company, my role was made up of three functions now. So I was doing the work of marketing, PR, and brand. And I was all doing this willingly because I was following this formula of overachieve and receive, expecting that if I do all these things, you know, that it would pay off down the line. Like, look at all this value that I'm providing. However, I kind of took this for granted in myself because, you know, I just did these things because, number one, I really loved doing them. And number two, I just felt like the more I do, the more it becomes impossible to say no, and that I don't have to really, you know, make that clear to anyone. I mean, I did share, but I didn't really embody it. So I did get a ton of praise, positive feedback that felt very good. It was constantly flowing. And, you know, I really just felt good after the past work experiences I'd been through. And it just made me feel certain that I would be paid accordingly. Like, when you're hearing that you're doing well, you're asking for constructive feedback, there is none. You know, you just assume that, okay, I'm getting the feedback that this is great, that you enjoy what I'm doing. So when it came time to negotiate for a promotion and a pay increase, however, the outcome did not reflect this. I was quite honestly shocked. And you know, this is the moment when I started to realize how, I started looking inward and seeing how I wasn't able to fully receive for my work. I was so used to overgiving. And I wonder if you, my listener, you relate to this, of this feeling of just taking it for granted that you're going to do everything, that you have it handled, and just, you know, taking that for granted in yourself, and then that's reflected in your outwards world. So I take full ownership of that. And, you know, this was performance review like 1 year in, and I carefully outlined the ways I'd made a measurable impact. You know, I'd grown our engagement like 300 to 500%. And I presented this to my manager, and I was told to wait. And at this point, I wasn't even giving a time frame. And I then kind of, I follow the advice of like, ask the time frame and like turn it over to them. You know, this was all new to me. I was not used to negotiating. And so when I turned the question over, say, well, what do you think is fair? They said in the next year, like 2 years at the company. And I just didn't have the emotional capacity or communication skills at the time to stand in my power, to push for reconsideration. I just took that response from a leader that I really respected as truth. And ultimately, I realized I learned so many things. I had received so much from this company, and I learned so much, but I knew that that I was growing so much and growing, and I needed that level to match me. And so naturally, by the time my 2 year anniversary arrived, I was overqualified for this promotion, overdue, and completely bored of my work, on the brink of burnout. You know, the energetic alignment of money and opportunities was just not aligned to the output, and I just didn't have the support moving forward. And all this to say, I believed completely in learning these lessons and being where I was supposed to at the time. And so I learned so much in this role. And so even though I was able to have the guts to even bring up this, you know, desire of mine and to present a negotiation and the reasons I deserved it, like, that in and of itself, I was so proud of myself for doing, because even before doing it, I just thought, like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I just was so scared, and I just felt, you know, I remembered all the times I was hurt and told no in my past work experiences. So It was a lot, I think, for my traumatized system, full of this tension, this frozen tension from the past, to ask and present myself powerfully. So you know that when your energy, everything is based in energy, is just not aligned with what you're saying, that your impact is just not the same. And so having this emotional capacity to stay present during these negotiation talks would have helped immensely, and not taking it personally. And so even though my logical mind knew that the result of these proposals and these talks had nothing to do with my actual worth as a woman, my body and my heart had so much trouble with this. And, you know, I just took it so, so personally. And I was just angry, and I was trying to push these wild, chaotic emotions down to show up every day at work as this, my mask that I had, like the typical cheerful, positive, professional self, to continue working. And I couldn't do it anymore. The mask was cracking, and this was my initiation and my integration to really be in my power and stand in my authenticity, because the way I had been showing up was like viewed as perfect. Like, I wanted subconsciously people to see like there was nothing I could do wrong, that way I couldn't get hurt. And I, you know, I was starting to learn that, oh shit, I'm not perfect, and I can't do it all, and I can't continue you know, pretending that everything's okay when it isn't. And so, you know, I had played out that pattern, and I think so many people can relate. It sounds like 2022 was a year of just so much hustling and bending over backwards. And I just, like, my body just couldn't do it anymore. And what is actually insane is at this point, I was given more responsibilities. I did end up getting promoted for the promotion that was for a year earlier. And at this rate, I was asking for a role even higher, and I was asking for more money. And, you know, I was given a little bit of a pay increase, promotion, okay. But I was given more responsibilities to reward my work as a top performer. So I wonder if you can also relate to this. So I started to reach my limit, and I looked for ways to process this anger, because I had no idea what to do with all these emotions. And I was learning that the idea that I was living and believing was that as a woman, you're not supposed to be mad. You're supposed to be agreeable, subservient, comforting, neutral. And this was like a real fear that I had in my body. And really the anger was just showing me that my boundaries were being pushed up against and encroached on. And I started to learn and see that I felt so trapped. This was in opposition of my identity as a woman, not only that, and my spiritual identity. So I was very used to intellectualizing and spiritualizing my feelings, particularly in therapy. So I would, you know, immediately go to explain, oh yeah, but this is all meant to be happening. You know, I'm growing from this, yada, yada. Instead of just like feeling the emotion, I would just try to like bypass it and get to the lesson right away. And I was also just trying to focus on my mindset. You hear so much about having a positive mindset and discipline and manifesting, and you can change your future with your mind. It all is up to you. And you see those memes all the time on Instagram, right? Like those inspirational, spiritual, personal growth type things that I think are well intentioned but aren't always true and really just don't account for the full spectrum of human emotions, of so many different factors of change and growth. And so it left me feeling powerless, like a victim of my own mind. Like, I should know how to do better. And I knew I had to try a different approach. So I started looking for a way to be emotionally empowered, and also to just, I knew I had to connect with my identity as a woman in a better way. I just realized, like, I think I have all these wrong ideas of what it is to be a woman. So I started looking into feminine embodiment, and I had a feminine embodiment and feminine spirituality coach on one of my episodes, Halai Hafaruk, which I'll link in the show notes. And she really showed me and opened the door to this path in so many ways. So I really hadn't heard of this way of owning your femininity unapologetically. And I think it was almost, it was very confronting to be like, oh, I think I'm doing that, and actually see that, there were so many things in the way of that. So I signed up for a feminine embodiment coaching certification through the School of Embodied Arts, and I found it just through Google. And it was just one of those things that I didn't even need to think. I just had a knowing, like, this is what is meant for me in this moment. And I knew my life was going to change. And I needed these tools to become emotionally empowered and fully conscious of the broad spectrums going on in my body. And I needed a better way of working and being in my flow and being connected to myself, my identity, while also being a working woman. So all this to say is that I came to a point where I was done with waiting for others to see my value. And I was, done with watching others who had been at the company less than me get promoted, had been there less than a year. I just knew that this wasn't the way to live or work any longer, with like giving all my energy away, just go, 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 with nothing in return. And I knew that started with me, and I was ready to leave this mode of working behind. And as women, I learned we're conditioned to be everything to everyone in our lives, whether that's at work or at home. And we're expected to say yes to taking on more responsibilities and just do it without asking for anything in return. And we're conditioned to put our own needs and emotions to the side to carry out these responsibilities. We're conditioned to settle for less than what we deserve. I learned that we hold so much conditioning that, leads us to believe these really, really backwards things about ourselves as women and how we're supposed to act. And we just live out these beliefs that are deeply embedded in our body and our nervous systems, and we're unconsciously acting them out. And I realized that it takes a deep sense of self-honesty to pinpoint these beliefs inside of you and to really experience them fully and be with the feeling and sit with that and experience it through your body in order to be able to release it. And it's not possible through a mindset. You're not just able to throw away a belief that way. And I actually learned that, your mindset is not enough to succeed in your life and career. It only makes up 10% of the work that's informing your actions. It's really more about your subconscious, and really this true self confidence and the self-trust can only come from a full body experience of that sense. And there's a ton of conditioning and trauma that is held in your body from incomplete fight, flight, freeze cycles. And that's what stands in the way of you fully expressing yourself. And it's really just not enough to say, just be yourself, just show up unapologetically. As I'm sure everyone would do that right away if that was so easy. So this experience just really lit a fire in me, and I just realized that there are so many outdated biases that exist towards women in the world, in the workplace, and it's really, really up to us women to redefine and reclaim ourselves. And claim our life goals and let our careers support that. And as a career coach, as a feminine embodiment coach, I really believe that the focus of your life should be your own self-care, your own experience, your relationships. And those are the things that come first. And I'm someone that loves my work. And it took so much unraveling through this work that I learned in my program and receiving this coaching work myself and somatically experiencing all these outdated working models we've been indoctrinated in, and just letting go of what isn't in resonance with, you know, my own natural cycles and my own feminine essence. And so I am passionate about women taking back this power and redefining the relationship with work, with what feels true to them, and allowing their careers to support their fulfillment, their values, their health, their vitality, and emotional well-being. And I see now that prioritizing pleasure is what my life is ultimately about as a fully embodied woman. And pleasure took a long time for me to wrap my head around and understand. And what it's really defined as, and the model that I learned, is aliveness. So it's a sense of being present and able to hold emotions like sadness and anger. It just means that you're fully letting these emotions express and release. And you can also experience joy and happiness and all this at once and hold the space for all this wide spectrum of emotions. And prioritizing this means your sense of self isn't correlated with the work you do or the money you make. And that is how you uncouple your identity with work. And ultimately, being able to experience and prioritize pleasure expands your capacity to receive more through your nervous system. More love, more money, more opportunities. And I really learned that this work had a ripple effect, that I could show up in new magnetic ways in friendships, in my finances, in dating. And it really reset my system in a way where I could receive and give more from a place of overflow. And that affected how I was able to work and to show up more as an embodied entrepreneur and a worker in a 9-to-5 as well. And I just understand now that there are practical steps that you need to take to understand your career as a woman. And, you know, I teach these as well, and understanding the tasks that you're doing. Are they promotable tasks? And are you actually setting boundaries and embodying those boundaries at work? And it's not really enough to just say the words. You actually have to energetically take up space. And as women, we are conditioned to shrink, to lose weight, to not take up space. And so it's just really rewiring all of those beliefs and showing up in your power. And so no wonder we feel so paralyzed and stuck. It's just we're getting so many conflicting messages. So I've done the research and learning, and I continue to learn this, and I weave this teaching in my coaching, and you'll hear more about this in my content and just helping you with actions and ways of being, things to focus on that are going to help you move your career forward in alignment with your values and be able to be in alignment in your life with what is important to you and be able to experience more fun, joy, ease, and pleasure. So I'm excited to share more of this with you. And as I share this with you now, I have just submitted all my materials in my coaching program, and it feels like an embodiment journey that I went through on my own, and be able to share these tools with you. I'm very, very, very excited about that. But ultimately, to say I'm going to show up authentically in my wholeness, and that is the point of this podcast and the work I do, and these conversations that we have about women empowerment and becoming conscious of the unconscious and moving your career forward, they're literally all related. And the most important lesson that I can share that you can take away from this episode is that the more you're able to be yourself and show up fully as your authentic, powerful self, that this can all be learned, and that that is how you become a conscious creator and a match for your soul aligned career. And it all is just a skill that you build. And I think that's an important message to share, is that you're not broken, that they're just skills to learn and awarenesses to realize and practices you can take, strategies to take. And it's my mission to remind you of this power that you hold within you and give you the tools to embody it. So with that, I have some amazing guests coming up that, you know, do our coaches in the intimacy space and pleasure and cycle-informed living and working, that will help you support you to embody your wholeness. And I'm excited to share that with you. So I will see you in the next episode. Let me know if this resonated with you in a review, or let me know on Instagram at Guide to Wholeness. And I will see you in the next episode.